over the past 24 hours or so, we've seen a plethora of economic data come in. There is the GDP growth data, of course. There's been a lot of talk about that. There is also the fiscal deficit figures which have come in. GST collection figures have come in. Then with GDP data, there is a lot of other detail, because once you lift the layers, you look under the big picture, that is 7.2% growth. You look at the sectors which are growing and which are not growing, etc. And that tell you a very important story. There is also the Standard & Poor's Purchasing Managers Index. The PMI for manufacturing sector is out now. Services sector will come on the 4th. There is also the Morgan Stanley report. So there is a lot of this stuff. And you've seen that your TV channels have been busy talking about this. Pink papers are filled with this. Although I also struggle to sometimes understand what they are saying, because they either go into minutiae or they presume too much knowledge on behalf of the reader. And maybe their readers have a lot of knowledge. But a lot of us try to make sense. A lot of us try to make sense and struggle to make sense of this data. That's why we have cut the clutter. Because I come at data like this as a totally uninitiated person, particularly on the economy. I'm no expert, but I have help. I have TCA Sharad Raghavan, who's our economics editor, and I've taken his help in doing this. So anything I get wrong, he's to blame, not I. That's a joke. Now, what are the 10 highlights from all the economic data that has come up in the past 24 hours? So let me say in the past 2 working days, in the banking hours, all right, to specify. Well, let me list those and go over each one very briefly and quickly. So number one, GDP, we know it's 7.2. It is lower than the growth last year. Last year was 9.1, now it's 7.2. Now, jinki rahi bhavna jaisi, dekhi prabhu murat taisi. Most people have said GDP growth is good, it's robust, 7.2. It beats the estimates. It beats the estimates not just of IMF and World Bank, but also estimates of Modi government itself, because they might have anticipated this coming lower. This has changed because of the stellar performance in the fourth quarter. So that is our first point. Now, the reason I said, jinki rahi bhavna jaisi, dekhi prabhu murat tin taisi, that means you imagine or you visualize God in terms of your own understanding or your own predilections or your own prejudices. So I've also seen one odd paper have a headline saying, oh, growth declines from 9.1 to 7.2. But we must remember that 9.1% growth last year, that is financial year 21-22, it had come on top of a year of degrowth, or on top of a year of substantial degrowth. That is the year 2021, when India had the big lockdown. So that 9.1 was on top of that low base. Now this 7.2 on top of a higher base is creditable. That is the first point to understand. Number two, what does this data tell us? Now, this data suggests much of the data that comes underneath this big GDP data, the big GDP figure, tells us that the direction of the economy is mostly up. Now, there are some surprises on the upside. There is also the odd surprise on the downside. I will tell you both. That's our second point. So growth has come from most areas. The biggest and the most important upside, in fact, is for agriculture. Now, we would have thought that agriculture last year, there was that sudden weather change, particularly in the north. There was premature summer and the wheat crop had suffered. There were other setbacks also. So there was a belief that agriculture would have suffered. But agriculture, on the other hand, has done very well. So agriculture in the year has grown at 4%. Agriculture in a large economy growing at 4% or above is very creditable. Agriculture is not like manufacturing. It is not that elastic. 4% is very good. Last year was 3.5%. So 3.5% to 4% agriculture is very good. And if you look at agriculture on a quarterly basis, it's gone up from 2.4 to 2.5 to 4.7 to 5.5, which means India has had not just a stellar Rabi crop, but a very good Kharif crop as well. So that is 4 great quarters of agricultural growth. That's very good. What is problematic, on the other hand, is what's happened with manufacturing. Now, manufacturing is something that Modi government has been putting a lot of emphasis on. And yet, manufacturing has not only done well, but manufacturing actually has declined. So, manufacturing has declined heavily from 11.1% the previous financial year to 1.3% in this financial year. Now, if you are a critic of Modi government, which you have a right to be, you will say, see, for all this noise that Modi government has made about manufacturing, productivity linked incentives, PLI going into now nearly 2 trillion rupees, what have they achieved? So, on the surface, that argument is all right, but these things take time. That is the counter argument. Again, if you see how manufacturing has moved, it's very interesting. And I will also comment to you the latest Macro Sutra article by economist Radhika Pandey and her colleague Pramod Sinha. That tells us that manufacturing looks bad on an annual basis, only 1.3% compared to 11.1% the last year. These are growth figures. But this year, it started with 6.1% growth in the first quarter, but had two shambolic quarters after that. So in two quarters, it had a degrowth, minus 3.8% in second quarter, -1.4% in third quarter, but it has picked up in the fourth quarter to 4.5%, which means once the graph has started going up, there is an expectation that this will keep on going up. Now, the other thing that has stayed robust is construction. Now, so if you look at construction, for example, it might look on the surface that compared to last year, which was nearly 15% to nearly 10% this year, there is a decline. But last year's 15% was on the base of a year of very poor construction, because that was the year of a very long lockdown. So again, if you discount that, in fact, coming on top of that, this year, first quarter had 16% growth, then it has leveled off to a more normal clip. So 16%, 5.7%, 8.3%, and final quarter again 10.4%. So the interesting thing to look at, remember that metaphor we use in Hindi, tel dekho, tel ki dhar dekho. That is, look at what the oil looks like and then pour it and see its consistency and color. So that is the exact equivalent of looking what has happened until now and what is the trend. So what has happened until now is the tail. That's how the oil looks in the vessel. And what is the direction? That is looking at how it flows. So if you look at the direction in the fourth quarter, looks like the direction for all these things is up, which is very important. Next, it comes to services. Now, services, the important thing is, although we had a high base given unusual growth the previous year, services have stayed robust this year also. So in fact, if you look at all services, gross value added, which is how data is analyzed, that is divided into 8 sectors. And you will see the full chart on your screens. Of those, the last 3, 6, 7 and 8, they pertain to services. And what are these? Trade, hotels, transport, commerce, broadcasting, financial services, banking, insurance, real estate, professional services, and finally, 8 is public administration, defense, basically government. So these 3 account for services. These three were 28.2% increase last year, 28.3% this year. So even on a high base, these have maintained their growth clip. And that's how on an average we have done very well with 7% growth. If you leave out Saudi Arabia, which is not such a big country, then India is still the fastest growing major economy in the world. So that is a very important part. Then look at the core sector. So what is the core sector? Again, something interesting that we lay people don't always understand. If you want to see the direction of an economy, you have to see how is the core sector doing. So core sector is coal, crude, gas, refineries, fertilizers, steel, cement, electricity. That is 8 segments. If you look at 8 segments, see what is up, what is down. Overall, the core sector is up 7.6%, which is quite robust. Coal is up 14.8%. So if coal is up 14.8%, it follows that electricity also must be up quite substantively, which is 8.9%. It also follows that steel should be up, because a lot of the coal is used in steel plants to produce energy. That is 8.6%. And cement. So cement is also up 8.6%. These are things, these are elements, core elements that go into infrastructure building as well. Cement, steel. Cement, steel, coal, which also tells us the other story, that the government spending has been very robust. Government has been spending a lot of money on infrastructure. Again, if I take you to the Radhika Pandey Pramod Sinha article, it tells you that government expenditure between quarter 3 of the financial year, that's just gone by, and quarter 4, the government expenditure has risen from 1.46 trillion rupees to 2.46 trillion rupees, right? That is what is also showing in the core sector growth. In fact, the share of investment in our GDP has gone up from 26.7% in quarter three to 31.7% in quarter four. Core sector is up. I mentioned to you earlier that there seems to be a revival in manufacturing after two quarters of degrowth. And you see indications of that in core sector growth as well. So that is our next point, revival in manufacturing. Then the point that follows is share of investment in GDP. Now we've seen some discussions on the print as well. I have done an episode of Cut the Clutter on this, and Sharad has also done an article on this, that through the Modi decade, we have seen a decline in private sector investment as a percentage of GDP. That led to a fair bit of debate also. But the fact is, that data is from the Ministry of Finance. That data is from Government of India itself. So who can question the data? At least Government of India can't question the data. Now there might be indications that's beginning to change a little bit. And once again, if you go to Radhika Pandey and Pramod Sinha article, I told you just now that the share of investment in GDP from quarter 3 to quarter 4 has gone up from 26.7% to 31.7%, which means the total assets being created, by both private sector and the public sector, have gone up so substantially even within these two quarters. Now, we cannot tell you right now if this also means that the percentage of private sector investment is going up, because that data comes, unfortunately, with a two-year lag. So we don't know as yet, but we can make some healthy presumptions. Because why is it so, for example, that we can make a presumption that manufacturing might now be picking up? One, there's a clear indication that after two quarters of degrowth, one quarter it grew up, there is a correlation, because commodity prices went down, crude went down, accordingly everything else went down, wholesale price index went down, so inflation came under control, interest rates also at least stayed stable, all of that indicated that companies can manufacture more. And that also led to expansion in agriculture, construction, etc., etc. And it should have also encouraged private sector to invest more. Again, picking up the data from the same article, our next point, if you look at what is called as gross fixed capital formation, GFCF. Now, don't ask me to define it as a professor might define it in an economics class, because that will be for economics students. Let me define it for people like me, that is most of us, who are not economists and who are not economics students. Let's just say this is the total value of the assets created by the government sector through government spending and the private sector. That, they tell us, Radhika Pandey and Pramod Sinha, that's gone up to 34% of GDP, which is the highest. It is the highest in 9 years. Now, this has happened because government sustained capex push, they say, but they also pick up data from Center for Monitoring of Indian Economy to say that this also tells you that the stock of private projects has seen a sharp uptick in March quarter. This data, this number of private projects had actually been declining. It had been declining since 2011. It had seen a small recovery, gradual recovery in 2020, but it is now seeing a sharp rise. So that is also a positive. So far we counted many positives. The one negative we counted, but a strong negative, was the manufacturing decline, the growth in manufacturing declining this year steeply compared to the last year. But as I told you earlier, last quarter shows a different
direction.
Then we come to our next point, which is a doubt that if you are doing so beautifully, then your consumption should also increase. But again, Radhika Pandey and Pramod Sinha tell us that consumption is only risen by 2.8%, and that's all government data. Now, if consumption is risen by 2.8%, but your anecdotal experience is all hotels are full, all flights are full, I can't find a seat either in a Vande Bharat train or in a Shatabdi train, forget flights, airline tickets are so expensive, in hotels rooms are so expensive. So how can you say consumption is low? That's because consumption has picked up big time in some areas. It hasn't in other areas, and that usually happens when an economy, after having been a stall or a decline, starts picking up. Remember, when there is a tide, it lifts all boats, but it lifts the yachts first. So when an economy starts growing or begins to make a turnaround, the rich benefit first, and they are the ones who start spending first. And that's why you see this 9% growth, say, hotels, travel, airline, that kind of spending. So the rich are spending, the poor are not spending that much. But again, if you go to agriculture, you see that tractor sales are going up, which means farmers are investing, but two-wheeler sales are not going up. They are stagnant, which means the distribution of that income is still not yet taking place. So this is an economy coming out of a deep slumber over more than 1 year. Which brings us to our next point, which is Purchasing Managers Index. Now, what is Purchasing Managers Index? Again, don't ask me for an economics class definition. Generally, I would say this is a survey that Standard & Poor's does with managers of companies, factories who purchase for their companies, for their enterprises. So if they are more optimistic, they purchase more. And this is short term. Am I willing? Am I keen to buy more this year? Which means, do I expect to be able to manufacture this or produce this or turn it into saleable goods and services? And be able to earn revenues and profits in the market. So Standard & Poor's does two of these, one for manufacturing, which is out now, and second for services. So manufacturing actually shows a great deal of optimism. In fact, I will share with you on your screens the key page of the summary of this survey. This tells you that the growth in Purchasing Managers Index for manufacturing from 57.2 to 58.7 is the strongest since October 2020. It also says that factory orders in India have been rising for 23rd month running, and they have risen to the greatest extent since January 2021. And with that, so what has caused this? Standard & Poor tells us in their survey, the managers told them that this is because of associated upturn in advertising. So people buy more. It's very good for us in the media. I wish more of it came to us at the print. There is demand strength and favorable economic climate. Now, if you want to know more about it, I will read a para for you from Poliana De Lima, who's the in-house economist at Standard & Poor. Now, in fact, these are three paras of highlights, and I will share these on the screen with you. You can see these, but I'll read the first para. It says, the PMI spotlight on soaring sales showcases robust demand for Indian-made products, both domestically and internationally. While the upturn in domestic orders strengthens the foundations of the economy, rising external businesses foster international partnerships and boost India's position in the global market. Combined, they also generated more employment opportunities in May. So you see this, and then you wait now for the services sector survey. It is quite positive, and again, overall, all these indications are in the positive direction. Now we come to fiscal deficit. Fiscal deficit is a bit lower than last year. It's 6.4%. It was 6.7% last year. So better than last year or less worse than last year, but 6.4% is still quite dire. A country like India should do much, much, much better than this. In fact, if you go back, the fiscal deficit that the Modi government inherited from UPA, when it was widely believed that the UPA had really messed up the economy, the fiscal deficit then was 4.5%. So today, 6.4%, you could say, all right, we've seen 2 years of the pandemic. But you see this very interesting graphic. If you see this graphic, This is the graphic of the Modi era. These are 9 years of Narendra Modi. You see, the first 5 years, they inherit fiscal deficit at 4.5%, and then it starts declining under them because they manage the economy very responsibly and very conservatively, right? What I call responsible may not be responsible for, say, the Keynesians who want the government to print and spend, right? Why is the government not spending more? Why are you afraid of deficit? Just print and spend. Print and build or print and distribute, right? But Modi government has been very conservative in its first term. Very conservative, but only in its first term. So in the first term, it's gone from 4.1 to 4.1, 3.9, 3.5, 3.5, 3.4. So direction is only one way, which is downwards. Suddenly, as they come into their second term, they change direction. It starts going up. 3.4 goes to 4. Up, then it goes to 9.2, but that is unusual because that is the pandemic year. So if you leave that, it has still remained in the 6.5% ballpark. That is 6.7% last year, 6.4% this year. So that is something that Modi government would worry about. Although its tax revenues are robust, and that's where you see this last graphic that tells you about the GST collections. Now, if you look at GST, apples for apples, oranges for oranges. So look at April. April data is usually very high because you're coming on top of the March month and people have spent a lot, companies have spent a lot, government has spent a lot. So there's a lot of GST collection that follows. So April 21 was 1.4 lakh crores, that is 1.4 trillion rupees. April 22, the following year, was 1.68 trillion rupees. April 23 now is 1.87 trillion rupees. So that growth has continued in GST, which also, from a government's point of view, is positive. You would hope, we know that this is the election year, we would hope that the government will generally continue to be conservative with the management of the fisc. In fact, if there have been post-pandemic excesses, which were a compulsion, probably and hopefully there will be a rebalancing now. And if India can end up with a lower deficit or with a substantially lower deficit instead of the usual election year excess, that would be a big positive for India's economy going ahead. But right now, overall, this large health check, this comprehensive executive health check, all the blood tests, all the scans, all the x-rays, all the ultrasounds have been done. Looks like the patient is in very good health.